Sunday night's main event is presented by Cineplex. Catch WrestleMania live on the big screen. Head to cineplex.com/events for tickets now.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
UFC and ESPN kill pay-per-view. Okada is set to face Jay White at Madison Square Garden, and Kofi gets screwed. Again. Hello, everyone. My name is Jason Agnew, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, brought to you by Cineplex. Catch WrestleMania live on the big screen at Cineplex. Scream and cheer for your favorites in a theater full of fans just like you. Get your tickets now at Cineplex.com or on the Cineplex app. On tonight's show, since gauntlets have been so popular, I'm running one of my own this week. First up, we'll start the gauntlet talking about the gauntlet in a triple threat with Nug Nargang from Aftermath on Sportsnet 360 and Todd Martin from Pro Wrestling Torch. From there, we check in with Dave Meltzer for the Wrestling Observer Insider with a focus on the UFC ESPN deal and the New Japan Cup. Competitor number four will be Dan the Mouth Lavransky, who will give us his thoughts on Okada and Jay White main eventing Madison Square Garden and how he feels about Shane McMahon and his new heel persona. We've also got audio and written feedback from you guys, too. It's a jam-packed show this week, so let's kick things off by getting you updated with our weekly wrestling recap.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, much like what WWE did a few years ago, UFC has decided to pull the plug on pay-per-view. Starting with April's UFC 236 through 2025, the year, fans in the U.S. looking to buy one of the company's 12 yearly pay-per-views will have one option to do so, and just one. ESPN Plus is the exclusive distributor of UFC pay-per-view events. The cost per show is also decreasing from $64.99 to $59.99 per event, but you have to be an ESPN Plus subscriber, so that's already $4.99 a month, in order to buy the pay-per-views. Now, let me clarify, because I'm broadcasting from Canada, as of right now, this is only pertaining to the U.S. market. Everyone outside of the U.S., you're unaffected by this. I'll have more of the financials of this story and why the decision was made later in the show with Dave Meltzer. And as the UFC moves from pay-per-view to an online model, the WWE is also on the move, but I actually mean physically. After 34 years, WWE's world headquarters will be moving to a new location in Stamford, Connecticut. Yep, Titan Towers is going to be sold by the company, and they'll be moving to a new complex. Apparently, the company also leases a couple other properties, which they're going to let the leases expire. So to me, it sounds like a way to amalgamate all of the company into one facility. The move is slated to take place in 2021. If you're headed to WrestleCon over WrestleMania weekend, you will not be seeing Pac there. The former Neville had visa issues and will not be able to make it to New York City for the convention. WrestleCon posted a statement explaining the situation, offering refunds to anyone who had purchased photo ops or autographs with Pac, and also stated that this would not affect his appearance or his future with AEW and Double or Nothing. All right, we didn't see Asuka on SmackDown this week, which is actually pretty regular recently. Well, WWE uploaded a post-show video where Kayla Braxton announced Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville versus Naomi versus Carmella in a fatal four-way match for this week's SmackDown, with the winner challenging for Asuka's SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania 35. Yikes. Oh, and in case you missed it, and what I thought was a surprise upset, Tony Nese defeated Cedric Alexander on this past week's 205 Live. So he'll face Buddy Murphy at WrestleMania. Now, on the good side of things, it's not a repeat of Super Showdown like I was complaining about last week. Then again, on the bad side of things, it's Tony Nese. I mean, I'm sure they'll have a great fun match, but it's Tony Nese. A few signings and debuts this week. First up, AJ Styles tweeted out a picture of his new dog and also casually threw in that he's re-signed with WWE. Sin Cara then parodied this tweet and countered an internet report saying he has also re-signed, but he clarified he hasn't done so yet. Former Impact performer DJ Z, aka Zema Ion, has signed with WWE and will be reporting to NXT. Speaking of NXT, we had two new familiar faces debut as managers. First up, Robert Strauss, who wrestling fans may know better as Robbie E from Impact Wrestling, debuted as a manager on Thursday's NXT house show in Sanford, Florida. He managed Saurav Gurjar with Renku Singh on Thursday and Riddick Moss on Friday. And listen, he is not the Jersey Shore character. Definitely doing something different. Along with that, on Friday, former ROH talent Stokely Hathaway debuted in NXT. He's going by the name Court Moore and managed Babatunde Ayibusi. Really? That's the name? I'm sure it'll be changed very shortly. Court Moore, cut a promo before the match and said Ayibusi is his newest client. Former Impact Knockouts champion Allie announced that she has signed with AEW. The Toronto native used to wrestle under the name Cherry Bomb, and I'd expect to see her pop up at Double or Nothing, but hopefully she undergoes an exorcism before then. Also adding to the AEW women's division this week is UK talent Sadie Gibbs. Gibbs is a 26-year-old wrestler that has worked on the UK scene and in stardom since January. So the division is growing, and as of right now, Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae is set for Double or Nothing on May 25th, with Aja Kong and Yuka Sakazaki also announced for that show. Speaking of AEW, Cody Rhodes filed trademarks for Prince of Wrestling, Battle Bowl, Bash at the Beach, and Bunkhouse Stampede. Cody and the Young Bucks posted tweets teasing the Bash at the Beach trademark, but Cody later wrote, "I turn off the Google alerts and trademarks. They're personal and most aren't intended for AEW. I filed / claimed over 50 the last few months. I'm just trying to get some of Dad's cattle back. That's the story." A video from Kenny Omega aired as a surprise at a DDT show this past week. This was in conjunction with the confirmation the DDT talent Michael Nakazawa has signed with AEW. More interesting though, Omega teased that he may pop up in DDT as well, which was his home promotion before signing with New Japan in 2014. Flipping over to MMA for a couple stories, UFC bantamweight champion TJ Dillashaw relinquished his title Wednesday morning due to testing positive for a prohibited substance on a New York State Athletic Commission test. The New York State Athletic Commission announced a one-year suspension and a $10,000 fine for Dillashaw dating back to January 19th, the night of his loss to UFC flyweight champion Henry Cejudo. Always the worst combination. You lose and you test positive. Luke Rockhold is moving up to light heavyweight to face Jan Blachowicz at UFC 239 in Las Vegas on July 6th. I personally wouldn't be surprised if he gets by Jan Blachowicz. I could see him being a potential feeder for Jon Jones as well. Conor McGregor is going to be appearing on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon on Monday night. That is going to be interesting. I kind of wish that was live. And finally, our last news item, Dana White announced that he has signed a new 7-year deal with the UFC. So he will be the face for 7 more years. We are going to take a break, come on back, and we'll chat a little bit about the Kofi Kingston angle, and in particular, a promo that Big E cut on his Twitter after SmackDown this week. That's next, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Scott Goldman, and I am the number one contender for the Strikes-a-Mania Championship. And just like I won the Rumble Strikes, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30, I'm going to Comedy Bar, and I'm going to take the title that Jamie Kavanaugh has been keeping warm for me, and I'm going to bring it home. And that, my friends, is not a prediction, it's a spoiler.
Strikes a Mania, Thursday, April 4th, 9:30 p.m. at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Advance tickets now on sale at snmeradio.com.
Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app.
You know, you think of this business to some degree being a meritocracy, that if you work hard, you show up early, you stay late, you do all the right things, you jump through all the right hoops, you're respectful, you don't break the law, you do everything that's asked of you in this business, that if you do all those things, you have a good chance of making it to the top. But now we understand the game. We see what the game is, that people like us will only get so far, that you can climb the mountain. They'll let you climb the mountain, but as far as getting to the peak and staying at the peak, it's not a thing. That people like us, historically, and moving forward clearly, can only get so far.
We are the nation of domination.
Well, if you're listening to that clip and you're thinking, I don't remember hearing that on Raw or SmackDown this week, that's because you didn't. That is a clip from Big E's Twitter as the WWE continues to blend fiction and reality, much like what Ronda Rousey did. Big E did that promo. Now, as I expressed on a previous broadcast, I was a half-half split on the Ronda Rousey angle, and I didn't mind all the F-bombs. That was no problem for me, because in seeing her in UFC, she's a pretty intense personality type, to say the least. But calling wrestling fake, that one ruined it for me. And much like that, this was a bit of a similar case. Big E and Xavier have both done promos in the context of what was said at the end of that promo. The, is it worth it anymore? Should we reconsider what we're doing? We're going to quit because Kofi keeps getting screwed. And angles like that, to me, are fine and justified if you're supporting your friend. I mean, look at all the guys that quit when Bret Hart had Survivor Series 1997, Heaven Got Screwed, and they all went over to WCW very unsuccessfully. But that's beside the point here. The bigger question in this promo is the people like us line. If not an outright race angle, the line is being put out there to tease a race angle, maybe to test the waters for the reaction of the fans to what a race angle would do in WWE in 2019. Let's face it, WWE is not new to this. I played the Nation of Domination music for a reason, and wrestling, is surely not new to this. Even the New Day is not new to this. Let's not forget, before it was unicorns and pancakes, even before the James Brown dancing, the X and Xavier Woods may have very well stood for Malcolm X, because his recruitment speech for the New Day had a very different tone to it.
This is exactly what I have been talking about. You cannot move ahead by shaking hands, kissing babies, singing and dancing like a puppet. This is our time. Together, it is our time to find purpose, because we do not ask any longer, we take.
That gimmick lasted for a couple weeks before the modern style of the New Day came into effect, and looking at the success of the tag team, clearly WWE made a smart decision. I mean, these guys are a lot more successful together than they would have ever been apart. They've managed to be a standout act for years on WWE TV. But there have been rumblings of breaking up the New Day for a couple years now? At least over a year. So, is this the beginning of that? Or is this a rebrand to the faction? Could the WWE be hitting the rewind button on the New Day? I mean, are we going to see Xavier trade the trombone for the spectacles again? And more importantly, is that the right direction to go? I mean, on one hand, The United States, and the world for that matter, really seem to be on edge. There's quite a bit of political unrest, and race relations not at their all-time peak. Perhaps this is not the best time for an angle like this. On the other hand, wrestling is a microcosm of the society that it exists in. So if that's the thought process, then maybe it's the perfect time? I'm throwing out both sides to the argument here. And we're going to take a closer look at this as well as the ridiculous gauntlet match from this week. Coming up next, we chat with Nug Nargang and Todd Martin in the triple threat as we continue on with tonight's edition of Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation
to our nation. Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app. Is the triple threat.
There's gonna be a triple threat.
Triple threat.
Triple threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
It is triple threat time here on Sunday night's main event, and joining me this week, two of the regulars on the show. First up, he joins me on stage at Comedy Bar and is going to be playing Strikes of Mania as well. Plus, you can see him on Aftermath on Sportsnet. Nug Nargang, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jason. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thanks for coming back. And you have been on with this gentleman before. He is, of course, from Pro Wrestling Torch and Sherdog and the LA Times blog, Todd Martin. How you doing, Todd?
I'm great. Great.
Excellent. Guys, let's start with Kofi Kingston. I mean, Kofi Mania was running wild. And Nug, I know you've been a big supporter for years of Kofi Kingston. But this week, we saw him wrestle for almost an hour and a half. And it was very similar to what we saw organically happen on the February 12th edition of SmackDown, where he was thrust into the Elimination Chamber gauntlet match. I personally didn't understand why we were seeing again. What did you think of this whole thing that happened on SmackDown?
Well, the sequel's never as good as the first one, Jason.
Good point.
We talk about overbooking, like complications in storylines and stuff all the time. And I think this whole story of Kofi getting to WrestleMania, while it was kind of a happy accident when the groundswell of support for it came, it's still one or two extra steps. We get it. We get where it's going. We all hope we know where it's going. Let's get there. The journey's been fun, but let's get there. We want to see Kofi at WrestleMania. Let's make it official, and let's try and make it official maybe a week more than a week before it actually happens.
You know, that's a great point. And Todd, I wanted to throw it to you. I mean, we could have just seen Kofi thrown into this here, but as of right now, as of recording this on Sunday, 2 weeks before WrestleMania, they're still not, they haven't entered him into this match.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly been a delay. In principle, I think in general, it's probably better to have more time to build up a match. But in principle, the idea of sort of holding off and teasing people you're not going to get it, I don't think is necessarily problematic if you continue to build interest and over time builds to a crescendo where finally you reach that point. My issue with the way that they did it is more in terms of just having basic rules that people can understand for the show. Because the reason for you to invest in something is the idea that it's going to have consequences. And here they advertised an hour and a half match, and well, they didn't advertise an hour and a half, but they advertised a gauntlet match with a bunch of people, so you know it's going to go long. And like they've done a number of times, once the guy won the match, they just threw up another obstacle. So it's like it didn't even matter. And that's sort of my sense with Vince McMahon, is that like they've set you to believe between Kofi and the way they've handled Becky Lynch, that they'll just make whatever rules are up the given week, depending on what they want to do. So why would you care about any given match if the fans can just create their new rules at the same time? Like even putting it at WrestleMania, like if given what Vince McMahon's been doing, if Kofi Kingston pins Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, what's to stop him under the rules that we've established from just going out there and making it two or three falls? Like, that's just something that happens all the time. When you do that all the time, it makes it hard to invest in the individual matches because you don't have any belief that what's going to happen is going to have consequences.
That's a good point. There's no rules in this universe. I mean, the rules can be different from real life, but they should be laid out and follows. And that is a constant struggle of wrestling. Nug, before I go back to you, Todd, you just mentioned that, you know, you don't mind the wait. How long do you wait to pull the trigger? Is this a week before, or is this something that, I mean, Mania's already going to draw. Do you just wait for it that night?
I would do it that night, but I think in general, if you have a number of matches laid out, then one that's sort of one of the peripheral matches, and this I think is, you know, maybe third from the top, fourth from the top,
right,
in terms of interest, I think it's fine for that sort of match to be one that you delay a little bit longer. I think the top match, you probably want to have announced earlier if possible.
Nug, I think I heard you say that's insane. Did I not?
Well, I mean, back in the day, we knew 4 months ahead of time what the main event was going to be. And it's also kind of sad to call the WWE title match a secondary match. Like, that's one of your main titles. It's the main title of SmackDown. It seems weird that this is a back burner secondary match. And I understand surprises and all that. If they drag it all the way out to, you know, some people think they're going to make, Vince is going to make Kofi win the Battle Royal actually get into the match at the end. In that case, then what are you doing with Braun Strowman? But I kind of want to know if this match is happening, because I would just like one face-to-face where Kofi says, I've been through it all and I'm finally getting the shot I deserve. And Daniel Bryan saying, you don't deserve it no matter what. It's funny because Daniel was in this position a few years ago, and now we're all cheering against Daniel Bryan.
I like that aspect of it, throwing back to it. Unfortunately, you've brought that up. I've seen that. No one on WWE television, though, has mentioned that. And that would be a great promo from Kofi saying, I've seen you do this, and now I'm going to do it to you. But instead, after this happening on SmackDown, we get promos about Big E and from Big E and from Xavier saying maybe they should quit. And then one from Big E, and I focused on this earlier in the show, saying people like us don't get these shots. And a lot of people like us type of deal. They're teasing a race angle here where we seem to be, this is another kind of edgier angle going backwards. My thought is like, you know, Nation of Domination style stuff. Considering what the climate is like in North America, all over the world for that matter, to me it's not a wise choice. Todd, do you like this style of angle, and can you see them going deeper into it?
I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not as big of a detractor as some. I think the problem with bringing up like serious issues like that in pro wrestling is it often comes across as tacky and crass, and I think it's difficult to handle real-life situations in pro wrestling in the way that you can in a scripted television show. With that said, I don't think there's anything morally problematic about booking a racist heel, a racist heel and a baby face that the racist heel is trying to go after.
Right.
And, you know, having the baby face triumph at the end. I think that's a perfectly fine story in a lot of mediums. I just don't think it works very well in professional wrestling. So I'd avoid it in pro wrestling. And maybe it's the history and that we've seen it done so crassly so many different times. And maybe if you did it in a more subtle and sophisticated way, you could pull it off. But given that I don't remember a lot of angles along those lines, basically ever, that I thought worked very well in pro wrestling, I would stay away from it.
Subtle and sophisticated are two words that are not used in the world of professional wrestling to describe it, for sure. Now, along with that, though, I mean, you mentioned the triumph of the babyface for a racist heel. If they are playing that out, Nug, I'm not even convinced that Kofi is going to win the title at WrestleMania, because I don't remember a time when you would both have Rollins win as one champion babyface going over, Kofi win another babyface, and Becky Lynch. It seems like one of those three at least is not going to get the win, and it might be Kofi.
Yeah, there's too many happy endings that are possible, and I don't think where we know we get sent home on a high note with our babyface champion with his hand in the air pretty much every year, it can't happen three times on the same show. So, you know, we have to, you know, lower our expectations a bit. As for, if I got to say, I got to say this, as for people like us don't get these opportunities, that could also be comedy acts.
Yeah.
Tag team wrestlers.
But you know what they're doing.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, they can backpedal and say, no, 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 we meant comedy acts. Why would you think that?
Yeah. And I would not be surprised to see that happen and them do that. But we all know what they are teasing here. And listen, I'm not even going to get off this match as of yet, because another issue that I had with this gauntlet match was, you know, you move out of the Daniel Bryan space and the Kofi Kingston space. It was how dumb and how awful it made guys like Joe and Orton look to lose to a babyface that had been through so much. Joe and Orton are also major pieces of your WrestleMania puzzle and significant performers. I hated watching this, Todd. Hated it.
Yeah, I think that one thing the WWE could definitely benefit from is more protection of top stars. I just think that a better way to build up pro wrestling is to have your top stars in the top programs win a bunch of matches and then wrestle each other. And their formula is to sort of trade wins back and forth. And I think it just leads to nobody feeling very special, and the matches don't feel as special. And you brought that up in that match with Joe and Orton. They also had Seth Rollins, who's the title challenge at WrestleMania. He lost. Mm-hmm. And there was one other person that was a pretty prominent person that I'm forgetting who it was, but that lost also this week. So they do that, where they sort of go back and forth. And I think it's one of the reasons why, when you look at the roster, there aren't a lot of people that feel special.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things that AEW has been pushing of, like, this is where wins and losses are actually going to matter. And it's because of booking that happens like this. Now, looking at one of those two guys that I just mentioned, Nug, Joe, he's been set up with a match versus Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. Kind of a surprise to me, because I was really, really hoping to see the culmination of Rey and Andrade at WrestleMania in a hair versus mask match. I think it would feel special, and I'd like to see that head shaved. Instead, we get Dominic into the mix here, and I don't got a good feeling about Dominic at ringside at WrestleMania.
I don't either. I think Dominic is a bad luck charm. We can historically look at that. Also, you know, if the family is showing up, Samoa Joe basically attacked AJ through his family,
yeah,
and now he can do it all again through Ray. This, you know, match kind of out of nowhere is weird, and I think we all wanted hair versus mask or some sort of culmination of Andrade and Rey. But if Rey wins that U.S. title at Mania, here comes Andrade to pick it up right after in more of those matches.
Yeah, which would be good. I just, you know, they've left him in the middle of nowhere, and someone else that's been left in the middle of nowhere, because we saw him as a moderator this week. Kevin Owens is brought back from his injury, has a complete change in his character from some dum-dum that's hanging out at a movie theater in bowling alley. All of a sudden, he's a baby face, but is also put in a heel role, and now he's a moderator. Kevin Owens is great on the mic, Todd, but he wasn't used in his angle. He was just used to push another angle, which is a waste of Kevin Owens, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm very high on the abilities of Kevin Owens, and it's been disappointing to see what they've done with them. I think it's unfortunate, because I mean, it seemed like the plan was Kevin Owens was going to be the babyface challenger at WrestleMania. Kofi caught fire, and they essentially just had them swap places and put Owens in the match at the intermediate pay-per-view, and then had Kofi at WrestleMania. And I think if they thought things through a little bit more carefully, and I think it was, you know, a quick decision, I think putting Kofi in WrestleMania main event was the right move. They should have booked it differently, because the way that they've presented Kevin Owens has really not given him any momentum at all for his first babyface run in that company. And given, I personally think Kevin Owens has as much babyface potential to be a breakthrough star as anybody on the entire roster. That's disappointing.
I think he, babyface or heel for that matter, he's one of my favorite people, and the fact that he's just there to, you know, push along someone else's angle is such a waste. And he was a huge star and has kind of been lost, and someone else that was such a huge star and lost, and Nug, you just mentioned him a few minutes ago, was Braun Strowman. The Battle Royal has been announced. I guess Strowman's in there, but the focus of Braun Strowman, a guy that used to main event pay-per-views for you, is getting involved in a feud with Colin Jost and Michael Che from WrestleMania. It's a complete comedy angle. Listen, I love mid-card comedy, but these guys don't fit, and I'm a big SNL fan as well. You're a comedy guy. this just looks like a complete disaster to me and is so poorly written for two guys who are so talented comedically.
Well, and it seems weird that Braun, who challenged for the Universal title earlier this year, won the Greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, that this guy is like making a big deal about being in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which everyone knows is, oh, you're not doing anything? Hop in this.
Yeah.
So it just seems weird. But if you'll recall, last year, Braun Strowman won the tag titles with a 10-year-old kid.
Oh,
Braun Strowman is their mainstream, like their attraction guy. He's their Andre the Giant. He's their big deal that's not the champion. So if it's in New York, New Jersey, but New York, why wouldn't you have the guys from Saturday Night Live get involved, get a little mainstream coverage? They're both tiny compared to Braun. Have Braun chuck them around or whatever.
Right.
That's your mainstream coverage. The coverage you're getting from Ronda Rousey being in WrestleMania is not the same coverage you're getting from Saturday Night Live being in WrestleMania. That's your entertainment coverage. You've got sports covered with Rousey. You have entertainment covered with Braun and the Saturday Night Live guys. Now, is it going to be great? No, not at all. But it's going to get you some mainstream coverage and be really fun tape for the next day.
So we don't know really what's happening with Braun. He might be in that battle royal. I guess he's going to, and along with doing that angle. And then they're doing a lot of in-betweens. Along with Colin Jost and Michael Che, you have Alexa Bliss as your host, and apparently Carmella and R-Truth as hosts as well. And a musical performance by Elias. Todd, would you say my dream will come true of the Honky Tonk Man smashing Elias over the head with a guitar?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, maybe at some point, but yeah, that would be sort of a weird thing for WrestleMania. I mean, a lot of people speculated it, and I wouldn't be shocked to see it if they're building up a spot for Rock to come in there and, you know,
right,
lay him out and do a little gimmick there, which, you know, that's fine, I suppose.
Okay, I guess The Rock will do, but he's no Honky Tonk Man is all I'm saying, guys. Todd, where can people read you and hear you?
Like you mentioned before, I do weekly podcasts at pwtorch.com, so check that out. And Twitter handle is ToddMartinMMA and weekly column at showtime.com.
Nug, we're, of course, going to see you live at Strikes of Mania. And along with that, Aftermath, you guys doing a previews of Mania?
We'll be doing a Mania preview, yes. And you can catch us on Sportsnet 360 every week on Tuesday at 7:30, right before SmackDown Live. And you can follow me on all the socials at Nug Nargang.
Thank you, gents. Good luck getting through the 19-hour WrestleMania.
I already did my prep cooking.
Yeah, I know, right? There's several meals involved. Multiple pizza orders. Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
You too, Jeff.
Hey, and keep in mind, as Nug puts the meal prep into place, he will be performing on Thursday night, April the 4th. He'll be back on stage. He wasn't at Rumble Strikes, but he's back for Strikes-a-Mania. The championship is up for grabs, and hopefully a lot of you will come out and root for Nug. It's funny, by far in the cast, Nug is the most knowledgeable performer when it comes to wrestling knowledge, and he has tons of improv experience. In all of the years that we've been doing this shows, I do not believe he has won a show. So come out. Crown him champion. It is, of course, Thursday, April 4th. For those of you in the GTA, it's at Comedy Bar. That is 945 Bloor Street West. We're starting this show at 9:30, and it's a Thursday. It doesn't interfere with NXT or New Japan, ROH, WrestleMania, all that. It kicks all of that off Thursday night, April 4th, 9:30. You can get your tickets online right now at snmeradio.com. The link is right there, and I hope to see you at Strikes-a-Mania. Taking a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Kurt Angle angle. Yeah, the Kurt Angle angle will be our topic next with your feedback on Sunday night's main event.
Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Why did we go wrong?
Hi, this is Nug Nargang from Sportsnet's Aftermath, and when I'm not talking about wrestling on TV, I'm performing in wrestling-based improv shows, like the next Strikes-a-Mania, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30 at Comedy Bar. You can cheer, boo, and heckle your favorite performers just like you were at a real wrestling show. So kick off your WrestleMania weekend with Strikes-a-Mania at Comedy Bar, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30 p.m. Just keep the signs in the back row, okay? People have to see us.
Strikes-a-Mania, Thursday, April 4th, 9:30 p.m. at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Advance tickets now on sale at snmeradio.com.
Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app.
And I want to thank the McMahon family for allowing me to pick my opponent for my farewell match. There are so many superstars I would love to face, but there's only one that I want to beat. And he is the man that has made my life a living hell since I've been the general manager of Monday Night Raw. That man is Baron Corbin.
Well, there's a clip from Monday night where Kurt Angle announces Baron Corbin as his opponent for WrestleMania and the collective groan of the audience. So I wanted to start a bit of our first section of feedback here with talking about that. And we actually had two people that gave us audio feedback about the Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin situation. First up.
Hey, Jason, this is Damien from York, Pennsylvania. Just saying in regards to Kurt Angle, I think that his opponent should absolutely be changed to either Shelton Benjamin or John Cena. Something that means something to Kurt. It's WrestleMania. You don't have to put somebody over at WrestleMania. You need to put on the best match possible. And I think that John Cena or Shelton Benjamin is the one to get that done.
Thanks for the feedback, Damien. So, good points. I mean, Sheldon or Cena, they both have reasons. Shelton Benjamin would actually be a better match, but do people remember World's Greatest Tag Team? I guess they do, but it's not one of the iconic Kurt Angle feuds, Kurt Angle moments. And I think Cena more so falls into that category, maybe not so much for Kurt Angle's career, but for John Cena's career. I mean, people remember John Cena's first match being with Kurt Angle. Now, if you want to talk about current match quality, we saw on Monday night, Chad Gable and Kurt Angle was not a strong match. It was sad. And I mean, it's good that Kurt is making his way out of the ring and this last match is coming. Shelton might be a better match, but it's still not going to be a good match. So in my opinion, Cena is the choice here. It only makes sense. And if that's the case, maybe they're just going to string us along. Maybe it's going to be Baron Corbin. And then at WrestleMania itself, Cena is a surprise. Let's face it, Cena is not going to draw anyone else to watching WrestleMania than is already there. And people are just going to be in question in regards to what he's doing. So do they even have to announce it? Maybe Corbin's on his way out, Cena takes him out, or something happens to him backstage and Cena's music hits. Maybe we just go for the big pop on the day of with John Cena and do things that way. Because honestly, I don't think it matters anymore. And they can build the heat, because they do love the heat, and build up the heat of the fans until that moment when they're all then relieved at WrestleMania with the surprise. More on this angle.
This is Jack from Toronto. Regarding the Angle-Corbin match at WrestleMania, I believe that Baron Corbin's going to be on a losing streak, and he's going to look like a fool from here to WrestleMania, which will give Angle and the audience a false sense of security that this is going to be an easy match. Angle's going to win. He's going to get the retirement send off at WrestleMania, and all will be good in the world. What we don't know is that he's probably going to be booked to lose at WrestleMania. Baron Corbin wins. Everyone's upset. The world's upset. And they'll try to resolve it at Raw after Mania. That's how I see these things going out. This is going to turn out to be.
Oh, God, Jack. No. No. That's the worst. I'm not putting it by WWE to have that happen. But that would be absolutely awful. I mean, we've talked about the big moments that are happening at WrestleMania, and I guess not everyone can win. But Kurt Angle's final match, let him have the win. Just let him have the win. Even if it's against the win and then the big goodbye afterwards. And I even think that that's another reason to have Cena in there, because it doesn't matter if Cena loses. I mean, it doesn't matter if Benjamin loses either, and Corbin would surely lose. Would surely lose, Jack. I'm not accepting this feedback. That can't happen. A few up here on the feedback wall as well, just written feedback. We got Charles writing in, and he says, I think Corbin's going to get interrupted last minute somehow, and Cena will face him for a surprise pop. There you go, Charles. We're in the same mindset there. They've mentioned more than once on TV that fans aren't happy about the decision. WWE wouldn't acknowledge fans' criticism unless they found a way to work it into the angle. Pun not intended. Yeah, angle. I've been saying that a lot this week as well. So perhaps, you know, we may both be on the right path, and I kind of hope that we are, and Cena's just a surprise that happens at WrestleMania. Currently going along here, David also says, good evening, Jason. I genuinely believe Kurt's match will be a bait and switch involving Cena. Kurt squashes Corbin, then gets on the mic asking for something better. Out pops Cena, something like that. Well, I guess David is thinking the same type of thing as well. Tim says, I hope Gargano jumps Corbin and takes a spot at Mania. No, that's why. That's completely unrelated. And listen, if that happens, Tim, then Gargano goes in there, and I want to see Johnny win, but I also want to see Kurt win. So I don't want to see Johnny Gargano come out and Kurt Angle tap him out. I think that's not a great way to go about things. And Johnny Gargano's carrying Kurt Angle through that. It's not like this is going to be a great match. This is going to be a nostalgia match. Chris says, at this stage, I'd rather see another 5-minute Undertaker match than Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin. If it was still the NXT Lone Wolf Baron Corbin rather than the Raw Constable Baron Corbin, I might be invested, but he's been overexposed for a long time. Yeah, maybe you and Bartender Dave. And that's about it. Because I don't think anyone has ever really been invested in Baron Corbin. Brian says, Angle will not retire. It's a work. Corbin will defeat Angle to achieve more heat and hate. Why are more than people than just Jack thinking this? I really hope you're wrong, guys. We're all going to be very angry if that happens. I don't think that is the match for the upset to happen. And I think maybe it's Brock. Let's remember, if one of the big moments is going to be screwed up for heat, maybe it's Brock defeating Seth Rollins. And then it leads to Roman Reigns winning. Later. And then fans turning on Reigns. Again. Mark my words. It's going to happen. We're going to take a break. We'll do more feedback in the second hour of the show right at the end. We got a couple more audio and then some more written as well. Remember, if you want to leave feedback, I pop it up every week on the SNME Radio public group on Facebook. Just search and join. I'll let you in, and then you can get in on this on the show. Taking a break, back Meltzer next. Talk a little bit of Kurt Angle with him as well and throw the question out if there is going to be a change. Wrestling Observer Insider next, right here on Sunday night's main event. If I live to see the seven wonders, I'll make a path to the rainbow's end. Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app. Thanks for listening to Sunday night's main event. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, it's available right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month, which works out to a buck a show if you're just listening to the weekly show, but we'll also throw in all of the bonus content, including the Patreon-exclusive podcasts. So visit us right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio.